Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello, I'm Claire Mutimer.
And I'm Susie Coulson. Welcome to The Backstory. In each episode, we'll be hearing about an experience that has happened to someone that shaped who they are.
30 minutes that remind us that everyone's dealing with something. So we're a documentary podcast. A docupod.
Except you made that word up.
Acid attacks seem to be on the rise. They're a particularly vile but relatively easy way of causing massive harm and consequences that are lifelong for the person who is attacked.
Today we're hearing from Adele, who suffered an acid attack in August 2014 in her hometown of Lowestoft. It was arranged by her ex-partner, Anthony.
Heads up about this one. We're talking about a catalogue of violent attacks. So if that's a trigger, then give it a miss. And it's definitely not suitable for little ears. Susie went to talk to Adele to find out more.
What would you like to tell us about?
I think everyone knows me through the acid attack. It happened on the 14th of August 2014. I remember it being really sunny. So I remember getting up early. I had drinks planned for after work. So I was getting the bus 10 past 8. I left home. Because it was so nice, I thought, oh, should I walk or should I get a bus? So I thought, oh, I'll see. Like, if there's a bus there, then I'll get it. If not, I'll carry on walking down to each bus stop. And there was two elderly people. I thought, oh, they normally know the time, so there'll be a bus soon. So I decided to stop. Within a few minutes, there was this guy, black tracksuit. He had, like, a balaclava covering his mouth. And he was shaking a bottle. And he was just lightly jogging past me. But as he passed me, I remember feeling wary. So I remember going in towards the bus stop. He looked me in the eyes, and I just felt really wary of him. And I'd say about 5 minutes later, don't know why, until this day, I still don't know what made me move, but as I moved my head to the side, acid got chucked over me. And obviously at first I thought it was just water, and I thought, what the hell, why has he just chucked water over me? And then within seconds it was burning, So I remember just chucking my bag, my phone, and then ran to these two people that was waiting, and I grabbed hold of one lady's hand and was like, please ring an ambulance, I need an ambulance. And just felt like I was melting. At that point it was probably about 8:30 and it was busy, everyone was going to work. So I remember playing chicken in the road, just running in and out, and there was cars bibbing, and then like eventually people knew that something was up, so like then the cars started stopping. So then I was crying for water, and someone come out of their house with a jug of water, chucked it over me, and it just like burnt even more, like it just smoked. Like I was just then like just started off. So I remember getting up and just running, and everyone was just like running away from me because I was just like acid was going everywhere because I was just covered in it. Yeah, and it felt like ages for the ambulance, but that took them 9 minutes.
So when this happened and you realised that it was acid, did you have any sense of
I knew it was Anthony.
Did you?
I knew, yeah.
Straight away,
that was him. I knew it obviously weren't him that done it, but he was involved, and I knew that that was him.
So tell me about Anthony.
I met Anthony when I was 16, and he was 18. We used to go underage drinking. There was this pub in town and we'd all say to our parents that we was going bowling or to the Chinese, and we'd go to this pub that served underage, so we'd have a few drinks, and that's where I met him. But he was Scottish and he had a nice accent. As he started talking, I remember saying, getting him to say stuff because I liked the accent. And from there, we were just messaging each other and texting. So we was together and it was all right.
And you were really young at this stage.
I was 16. He was my first proper boyfriend. Yeah.
How were those early weeks?
They were good. He'd meet me for lunch at college. Just treat me and we'd do stuff all together. That would be good. He'd go out with the boys, I'd go out with the girls, and then we'd meet up. And then I think it was the end of January that he'd gone out on a Thursday night. I had college on the Friday, so I didn't go out. Then I got a phone call on the Friday to say that he's been arrested and is in the police station, and he's now going to Norwich Prison. He's basically beaten some guy up to the point that broken bones. This guy had slagged his dead mum off. So then, how he put it to me, I felt really sorry for him. Just felt like, God, if someone slagged my dead mum off, he'd had a few to drink, of course you're going to react to it. The reason that I'd never met him before is because he'd been in prison before, and it all kind of come out that's why he went straight to prison, because he was unlicensed. And
you hadn't known that he'd been in prison before. What had he been inside for the first time?
I think it was GBH as well.
Okay, so another violent offence.
And I automatically told him, I don't want nothing, I had been brought up to have a prison boyfriend. He started writing to me and stuff like that. And I did reply, because at first, it was actually, he was telling me stuff in the letters that he'd never told me, that he loved me and never, and it was actually quite nice to hear all that. But then it got to a point where I was like, this isn't me. I want a boyfriend that I can see, He had a mobile in there, so every night he'd ring me, and then he'd get caught with a mobile. Then he got extra time, he'd get another mobile, he'd always have a mobile, and he'd always have it, so he would be able to speak to me for hours at night. That was when the control started, when I'd be like, oh, I'm going out, and he'd be like, no, you're not. Every night, I wouldn't be able to do anything. I wouldn't be able to do anything. He was in prison, but it still stopped me, because he would not give me threats, but he would, just constantly ring me and ring me. And even if I did go out, he'd be ringing his friends, which were out anyway. So, they'd always, I'd always be watched. He was in and out all the time.
Okay.
I remember that he'd beat his brother up because someone told him that I'd been with his brother when he was in prison, and everything was GBH related, that he'd beat people up.
And what was he like to you throughout this time? What, looking back, hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it? But looking back, can you see elements of control? Can you see
So looking back now, even when we first got together and he'd meet me at college, all my mates thought that was marvellous that my boyfriend was meeting me every lunchtime, but now I can see that he didn't want me to see my friends even then. He'd always have to be there. So basically, if he was in prison and I told him I didn't want to be with him anymore, we'd get the windows bricked, or he'd got people on the outside to do stuff to me. His sister beat me up before.
So you were living with your mum and dad.
Yeah.
And he would get people to stick a brick through the window.
Yeah, so we've had our house bricked.
And his sister beat you up.
His sister beat me up. a girl had beat me up. That's all because of him. And he'd be in prison. If I said I didn't want to be with him, and I'd block his number because it'd just ring, 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 ring.
And it might sound like a bit of a naive question, but how did you know that he was behind those things?
Oh, they'd tell me. And this is from Anthony.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. And then when he spoke to you, I don't know, how would that be? Would he explain?
Oh, it's because I love you. I'm inside. I'm getting told all this stuff. It's because I love you, Adele. And just all that,
So he was kind of making out that it was his own insecurities, and that he, okay. You made the decision to go on a cruise ship,
on a cruise ship. So basically he was in prison and I'd gone on the cruise ship. I went to Miami, and I was based in Miami for 9 months.
Because you'd been studying, we haven't said, you were studying beauty, weren't you? Yeah.
I went, got a cruise ship in Miami.
Wow.
Docked, and then I'd done 9 months in the Caribbean.
Okay.
And like, we didn't speak to each other at all.
So that was your break from him,
was it? That was my break,
it?
And I'd never felt myself more than anything. So I get on this cruise ship, no one knew me. Like, no one knew me. I weren't Anthony's, I was on myself, and I'd never been like that for years.
So you kind of managed to get away, in a sense. You'd gone on the cruise, you'd had a time away from him, and you'd felt amazing during that time. And then you came back, and so quickly, he dragged you back in.
Yeah, on the Friday, I was walking up to the upstairs, and he's walking down, he just grabs me. I remember pushing him, and he got kicked out. So then one of his mates was like, just go out and see him. Well, you just want to see how you're doing. So then I remember leaving just to go talk to him. And then by then, he'd Facebook every day, just kept, like, Facebooking me. And that I was already, like, that sucked in. I met him here at the Wherry in Alton Broad.
Mm.
And he'd said, oh, I've got us a hotel for the night. We'll just stay here tonight.
Okay.
So I went upstairs with him. And he was intoxicated. Apparently, I'd been cheating. Apparently, I'd been getting with people, and it's not fair on him. And he beat me up.
Jesus.
Beat me up and left me in the hotel room. And
was that the first time that he'd physically assaulted
you?
Yeah.
So I remember ringing my friend up, come and get me. Like, all the people from the hotel were coming out their hotel rooms. Like, and I was just remember sobbing. So I went to my friend's, and then she took me to hospital, and I broke my jaw.
He'd broken your jaw.
Yeah. And my friend from the cruise ship, she'd just gone to Spain. So I got one-way ticket and went out to Spain to meet her. I just needed to get away from him. Like, I couldn't be there. So as soon as he realised that I'd gone, he kept ringing me. And then I think as soon as he realised the dial tone and that I had actually gone.
Yeah.
Telling me that he can't do it without me, he's going to commit suicide.
Okay.
And then that night, his dad had rung me saying that Anthony was in a car crash and that he got cut out of the car and that he's in theatre or something and that he's begging for me. So I got a flight home. I went to his hospital bed and he said, I knew you'd come back. At the end of August, I'd planned to go to Manchester for my friend's 21st, which was, she was on the ship. So it was all the ship girls, meet him. And he'd said that I could go.
Was that unusual for him to say that you could go?
But he booked my train tickets and it was 6 o'clock. Go down at 6 o'clock on the Friday and come back the Sunday early morning, first thing.
Oh, wow. So you couldn't go out and have a decent night out. You were going to have to be up early.
At this point, we was living together, like, so I went there, and when I got there, he'd taken my dress out of my bag, so I didn't have anything to wear, and I was that scared, like, everyone was like, oh, we'll take you to town, like, we'll get you something. I was that scared to even buy anything new, in case he'd, like, see that I wore something new, or, you know, but I just thought, I'm here now, and, like, that was just so upsetting, because all the people from the cruise ship could just see the change, like, how changed I was, and how scared I was of, like, you know.
Because they'd seen you when you were at your strongest, hadn't they, when you were on the cruise ship, and feeling happier.
So, I went to this party anyway, and he kept ringing me, so I went outside, and I answered it, and because there was people walking past this venue, it's like a nightclub basically, but it was a private room. There's people like walking past me. He thought I was with lads. He was kicking off crazy, like just saying, get to the train station now. Like, if not, I'm gonna. He was like, I don't know whether to go around to your mum, dad's, slit your mum and dad's throat, and you'll have to live with it for the rest of your life, or I don't know whether to kill you and do life for it. He said, I haven't really thought about it, but either way, I am going to be stabbing someone. When I got on the train, he was just saying, I'm at Lowestoft station waiting for you, I'm going to stab you, you're going to die. He was like, make sure you eat what you want today, like, because this is the last time you're going to eat. So I was on the train, and I knew if I rung my mum, then that would be it. That's the final straw. Like, there's no going back. But I knew that if he knew that I weren't there, then that he would kick off. So I rung my mum and I said he's threatened to kill me. So I got off at the station before and we went straight to the police station. Well, should we come here? My dad ran out and got in the car and we went to the... My mum said, right, we're going to the police station. Mm. You tell him everything.
Mm.
So I went to the police station. We was waiting to see someone. My brother, my oldest brother and his wife was round for roast dinner and Mum had just like up and left.
Yeah.
And where my dad had just got out, no one locked the front door. So we come running in, got my brother by the neck. So then his wife's ringing my mum's out whilst I was getting interviewed saying, he's in here, he's in the house, he's got Adam. So then obviously all the police come and got him. But they couldn't charge him anything because the front door was open. So he got done for being drunk and disorderly.
Oh, so he hadn't actually broken into the
property. No, because my dad left and didn't lock the door.
Right.
So, yeah, basically he got drunk. He got, obviously, harassment charge, injunction, not to go near me or anything. He got let out at 2 o'clock in the morning. First thing, where does he go? He comes here.
No,
so he's chucking stones. And for that week, he got arrested 7 times in that week. Every night he was outside my house.
And did he not go back into custody during this time? Even though he'd held a knife to your brother's throat and he kept coming back. There were injunctions and so on and he kept coming back.
Yeah. And then I went on a cruise ship. I just got a cruise ship and I just went.
And was that another thing for you where you just thought, I need to escape
and this is
a way to get away from him?
Yeah, so I got home in April, got a new job. I got gym membership, like, with it.
Okay.
So then I started going to the gym and going to the sauna and the steam room after work. So I go first out the gym and who's there? Him.
Oh, you're joking.
No, so after I'd been in the gym and I could just see, you know, when you just could see, feel eyes on you. I was just minding my own business thinking I'm not talking to him. And then I just thought, it's been 2 years now, there won't be any whatever. Then he started following me. So as soon as I'd leave the gym, he'd already be in the sauna before me, like knowing that is what I do. And if I'd go in the sauna, he'd be sat in the sauna. And then I'd go to walk out and he'd be like, oh, you're right, dear. Like, ask me how I'm getting on. Like, seemed just like he'd grown up, like really grown up. And then this one day, he'd bought me a phone. He just said, I've got something for you. And he'd got me this phone. And I was like, I don't want it. Like, I don't want nothing off you. And he was just like, oh, nah. I got a new contract. I don't want it. I'd broken so many phones of yours, like, while we was together. Like, just a way of paying you back. So I took it off him because he wouldn't let me not.
Yeah.
But I didn't use it for ages because I didn't need a phone. In the end, my phone did smash. So then I did start using it. And then that just started. He'd got my number and...
He was patient, in a way. He was kind of playing a long
game
there.
He's a snake as well. Like, every little thing he did, there was a motive. So this was January 2014. I'd been meeting up with him. It was more boredom, the fact that he'd actually now started giving me attention that I hadn't got since I got back from the cruise ship kind of thing. So,
did you still feel that intensity with him? Like, you knew him...
I knew him like nobody else, and like we just clicked. Like as soon as we'd be together, we hadn't seen each other for 2 years, but it just felt like that we was meant to be, like, kind of thing. That I understood him, he understood me. So then one day he looked at my phone. I put my phone down, looked at the phone, and because I had loads of boys' names, which I didn't, but I had boys' names on my phone, and he gave me this phone, and how dare I put boys' numbers in the phone he'd bought me, and.
Yeah.
So I said, don't want nothing to do with you. Blocked him every day that week. I got flowers and it just made me feel physically sick. So I just knew that I was sucked in yet again and he ain't going to let me get away. So I thought, if I go around there, give him back to him, just say, look, I'm going away again. I went there at 5 o'clock and I didn't leave till about 5 in the morning. He'd locked the doors, chucked the flowers at me, basically beat me up, telling me that I've messed his head up.
So he trapped you inside?
Trapped me inside, locked all the doors, couldn't get out, telling me that there's pointless me trying to escape because I am going to die there. And the only reason I got out at 5 in the morning is because a taxi pulled up and he thought it was the police. So he literally opened the door and said, if you go to the police, I will kill you. I will absolutely kill you. So I remember running out of the house, running straight to my friend's house down the road, banging on the door. And she opened the door and she's like, what the hell? Like, and I was just like, they were just begging me to go to police. And I just said, I can't go to police. I can't. So that was March the 15th. April the 29th, he kept messaging me saying, look, I need to see you. I want to see you. Come and meet me. If not, I will be coming to your mum and dad's. So I just went and met him. And we was walking down a road, and that was when I got stabbed. And I was walking with him and someone jumped out and jumped me and slashed my lip. So my lip was hanging, and then he became a hero because he chased after the guy, but the guy got away and he'd got stabbed in the foot.
So you were with him and somebody else stabbed you. So presumably you thought, what, did you think this was a random attack?
Unprovoked attack.
And
because he ran after the guy, but the guy got away. But he rang the police, he rang the ambulance, he was with me, he was my hero that night. But obviously we found out, yeah, he'd paid someone off the street to stab me. 3 weeks after I got stabbed, in May, was my friend's mum's birthday. At this point, I still had my stitches in. So I went to this place called Ocean Rooms, and I go there and I just felt that I had eyes on me. As soon as I walked in, I could tell that I was getting watched. And I look up and there Anthony is standing there. August probably the 9th, I get a text of ? Saying, I love you. So then I look at the picture and it's a picture of Anthony. So I just said, I don't want nothing to do with you. He just said, look, I need one last cuddle with you. My mum and dad were on holiday. So the moment he kept saying, I'll come to your house then, I didn't care because I knew that I wouldn't upset them or anything.
There was hold over you
anymore.
Yeah,
there's no hold. Come to my house. I'm here on my own. Come to my house. I'll ring the police straight away. Yeah. But at least
your mum and dad are not here.
Yeah.
So because your mum and dad were away, you were kind of not reacting as you would normally have reacted.
Yeah, normally he knew that he'd say, I'll come to your
hold,
house.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but the more I was saying it, the more I was getting nastier. So August the 13th, don't know why, but I saved my WhatsApp messages. I don't know why, but I saved them to my email because I had a gut feeling. He'd not threatened me or anything, but he was getting nasty. He was just calling me every name under the sun. And then that was the 14th of August. That was when I got attacked.
So the attack happened and you knew, and that you've just told me,
and
that
then
makes
like my phone
sense.
Got full of acid and their but messages,
all of that stuff was backed up.
So basically the way they got Anthony was took the police 9 months to get my attacker, and that was basically through a tip off.
Really? But everyone went quiet.
No one would speak. They were scared of him. No one would speak.
They were scared of the guy that...
They were scared of Anthony. Anthony had such a hold that no one was speaking.
Okay. But they finally got the guy that actually did it.
Yeah.
And what do you know about him?
He was a vulnerable person. Never been involved in the police before.
So he was easily manipulated.
Yeah. His mum was disabled and he was basically been a carer from a young age. A vulnerable person that Anthony used, yeah.
So, oh my God, okay. So then we go forward to the trial.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's my imagination, but I feel like acid attacks have become more common.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think that there's something about that way of attacking someone that it is...
It's an instant disfigurement. And it's a major disfigurement, and it's not just, you know, with a stab or, you know, I got stabbed, so I know how a stab feel, but, you know, when you have stitches and everything like that, and that is kind of basically how it is, where acid is just an instant dramatic life changing, you know, and it's worse, I hadn't died, but it's just so, you have to live everything, you know. Sometimes I was in my hospital bed thinking that would have been easy just to die, because I've got to go through all this, you know. All the trauma, and it wasn't just me, I was watching my family, you know.
Yeah.
It was a domino effect. It was, you know, I've never seen my dad cry before. I'd never seen my brothers cry, you know.
Then the trial approached. Did anyone plead guilty?
So Jason Harrison pleaded guilty.
And Jason is the one.
Was my attacker.
Yeah.
He pleaded guilty, and Daniel Marshall, who was the driver, pleaded guilty. And he got 7 years.
Okay.
Do 3.5 on the behaviour. And then Jason Harrison, he got initially 14 years, but because there wasn't much evidence on Anthony, he was very smart. There was no, you know, text messages, very verbal, and he's very smart on the evidence front. Jason Harrison became my Queen's evidence. So basically stood up saying, I done it, but the reasons I done it was against Anthony. So for him helping me out, he got 10 years taken off. So then he got 4 years due to...
What do you think about that?
It angered me, but my main person was Anthony. So okay. Even though he was the one that... He's the one that scarred me, you know. I hadn't got half a head of hair. I hadn't got an ear. You know, I'm scarred for life because of him. Anthony didn't actually do it. So then that angers me when I think about it like that. Mm. But Anthony was the main one.
Anthony himself, did he plead guilty or not guilty?
No. I knew he'd take me to trial. He went not guilty. He took me to trial. He would do... I knew that.
That last little bit of control. And he was found guilty.
Yeah, he was found guilty.
Good.
Yeah.
And he got 14 years.
Life minimum of 40.
So that means he'll be inside definitely for 14 years.
Yeah.
And then after that, he can
apply to come out. But then once he's out, he's got a life licence. So whether he does a little steal something from the shop or something, that can potentially send him back. Yeah. Okay. And he'll never be allowed nip, like, around here.
How are you now?
Yeah, I'm okay. I was 22, so I still had a life to live. And
you're so young.
Yeah, so I had to find a way to you know, get over it, or, you know, I had a life to live. You know, I just live life to the full way, basically, now. You know, I found someone as well, and he supports me, and he cares for me, and my scars don't bother him or anything like that.
How was that kind of getting back into dating?
Yeah, it was hard, but I met him on Tinder, and it was all to do my friends. My friends go on Tinder, and they're a bit all like, my friend was like, just go on there, like, you know, just to get your confidence up, you know. You know, if it don't work out, then that's just a practice day. You get your free food, and, you know, that will get you out there again. It was all like, she back sold it saddle. To me. So I went on Tinder, and... went on a date, and he's the first one.
Seriously, yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. What's he like as a character?
He's so laid back, which at first it was really hard because I don't know. Not that he don't care, but like Anthony was the opposite, was controlling and constant, whereas Josh is so laid back, and he just... Not that he don't care. My mum says that he's that laid back, she could push him over. Like, he's just one of those lads. And
it takes a bit of adjusting to you, yeah. Though, doesn't it? That difference.
Yeah.
And what are you like now as a person? How would you say this has changed you?
For me, I've won against him, like, despite anything. So I don't really live on edge anymore, whereas at first I did. I was always looking and trying to get as much holidays in and, like, just...
It's best, like, kind of revenge, yeah, isn't it? To get on and live an amazing life.
I always wanted to go to Australia, and he'd say, oh, you're never going to Australia. And I went to Australia for 2 months. So, like, little things like that. Me and the girls been to New York, and just little things like that. Dubai I went to last year, like, just, like, holidays. And, yeah.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
She's pretty tough, isn't she? I mean, incredibly resilient.
Yeah, she is. I think that for her, part of the process of recovery is kind of proving to herself that she's more than he told her she was. But, you know, the attack itself and the recovery were not only very traumatic, but they were incredibly painful. And obviously, we haven't gone into full details in our episode, but, you know, that physical pain was significant.
Wow, I'm sure. I mean, any kind of burn is painful.
Yeah, and it is. Yeah.
She was, you know, badly burnt. I think we should say that acid attacks aren't just a feature of domestic abuse, are they?
No.
They're also used in hate crime, terrorism, and sometimes just randomly. For example, delivery drivers have faced attacks from gangs of young people.
Oh my God.
In 2016, I think in London alone, corrosive substances were used in 454 crimes.
Wow.
In the UK, unlike many countries, men make up the majority of victims.
Yeah, and I guess the thing about corrosive substances is that they're easy to get hold of, aren't they? And they can be squirted at someone from a distance.
Yes, and I suppose there's no weapon afterwards to be, you know, found or what have you. You
yeah, just got a bottle and you can't be done for carrying. Well, I don't know, but presumably...
I think you can be done for carrying it now, can't
you?
Yeah, they have brought in new laws to try and keep up with...
Like, in light of
the attacks,
yeah.
Not an easy thing to charge people
no.
for. So without wishing to turn this into like a public information service... What should you do if this happens?
Okay, well, I have a bit of an overwhelming need to look this sort of stuff up. So here's what I found out. You should remove clothing and jewellery because I guess those things can be retaining the acid.
Yeah.
And avoid taking any clothing over your head because that may spread the acid to your face and your hair. Rinse with cool, clean water. Don't apply anything like creams or ointments. And if you have access to sterile gauze or even something like cling film, then you can wrap the affected area once it's been fully rinsed. And that helps to avoid contamination. So
yeah, it's quite similar to the if you'd been burnt with hot water.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know a friend of mine wrapped her daughter's arm in cling film after she'd been burnt, and that was the right thing to do. So yeah. And I suppose if it happens to someone else and you're around, then you need to be careful, like, for yourself. You need to protect yourself.
Yeah, definitely. We heard how the acid from Adele got onto the other bystanders. So if you are going to help someone, then yeah, you need to be aware of your own skin and really take care of yourself.
Adele's story is a reminder of coercive control, isn't it?
Yeah.
They'd been together for a while before he physically assaulted her, but the abuse had started well before then. He'd isolated from her friends.
Yeah.
I know there was an incident of revenge porn.
Yeah, there was.
And emotional blackmail.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that understanding of the range of behaviours is maybe one of the biggest changes in recent years. You know, it's not all about a black eye, you know, that understanding what those different behaviours look like. So
definitely.
Let's hope that maybe the generation growing up now are more aware than previous generations.
Yeah, I think they are. And I think also the law is changing as well, isn't it, to recognise that.
If you'd like to find out more about Adele's story, then I can recommend her book, which is called Brave. I read it in preparation for this episode and we've linked to it in the show notes.
Okay, shall we move on to our podcast recommendation?
Okay, what have you got for us this week, Claire?
So I've been exploring BBC Sounds a bit more as a new place to find podcasts. I've dipped into Parentland as a good opportunity to find some much needed parenting tips. I found it pretty helpful.
I'll need a few of those, yeah.
Also, the BBC has finally caught up with us, tongue firmly in cheek, and they have made a 9-part series about our story we put out a few weeks ago, Dead in the Water, Penny's story.
Okay.
Theirs is called Paradise, and I think 1 and 2 are now out, so... If you enjoy Dead in the Water and would like some more info, then do have a listen.
Okay, so Parentland and Paradise, both on the BBC Sounds.
That's right.
Okay, this brings to an end our season looking at people searching for justice. If you've got any feedback for us, we'd love to hear from you in all the usual ways. It's incredibly helpful for us to get a fresh pair of ears on the programmes that we make. So do let us know your thoughts, good or bad, because otherwise, Claire, it's just you and me kind of rattling around trying to decide what works and what doesn't.
Exactly. We're off to make some more backstories for you and we'll be back. So keep an eye on our little thumbnail in your podcast library. Sign up a friend or 10 in the meantime and we'll see you soon. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We are the Backstory Podcast on Facebook and Instagram, at the Backstory Pod on Twitter. Search for The Backstory with Claire and Susie in your podcast directory.
For sponsorship opportunities, or if you'd like to take part in a show, please contact hello@thebackstorypodcast.co.uk. The Backstory Podcast is produced by Tin Shed Productions.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.